Hey, and welcome to the Literary Weapon Podcast. I'm Liv.
And I'm Josh. And today, we're talking about a movie.
Yay!
Yeah, another movie. I think I was looking at all of our episodes, and we have like six movies in a row. So, I've got to talk about the vampire book at some point.
Yeah, we'll get there.
We'll get there.
Because I want to read that one.
Yeah. I'll do it this weekend.
Yes.
Well, but today, our movie episode, staying focused.
Staying focused? Then we got to get our drinks in first, dear.
Yes. We are both drinking the same thing, kind of.
Yeah, which never happens.
No. We have the Kirkland Signature Hard Seltzers.
And they're banging.
They're really good. I think they're better than White Claws.
I think so. I think I like that they're not as carbonated.
They're very pleasant.
Yeah. Like, I think the first taste that I took of the black cherry one, it literally tastes like an icy, like the icy just juice, mm-hmm. like when it melts down.
Yeah, and the lime just tastes like...
The lime popsicle?
Kind of. I was kind of thinking of like soda water with just a lot of lime juice in it.
Yeah.
It's good. I think though, like with seltzers, the biggest determining factor on if I'm going to like it or not is the second can of seltzer.
Yeah.
Most seltzers I really like the first can. I'm like, yeah, man, give me another one. And I'm like, ooh.
Yeah.
I don't like this anymore.
But this was a great price. It was $21 for the 24 pack.
It's either 24 or 30.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
It's a lot for a little.
A lot for a little.
Uh-huh.
Especially for seltzers because they're expensive.
I know. The High Noons are like...
They're like almost a... They're more than a dollar a piece.
Oh, yeah.
Easy.
Mm-hmm. So the price per piece ratio here is very balanced.
Yes, very, very good. So today, we're going to be talking about, trying not to sneeze here.
Do it. Just sneeze.
I can't. we're going to be talking about Civil War, the recent movie that just came out in theaters. And by just came out, I mean 3 weeks ago when you'll be listening to this. It's directed by Alex Garland, who did Ex Machina, Annihilation, Men, and he also wrote the movie Dread, which is really good.
Hmm.
Men's the only one of those I haven't seen. Land said it was really weird.
Is that the Lighthouse movie? Where there's just two men in the lighthouse?
No, that's just called The Lighthouse.
Okay, never mind then.
Men is the one where I think a girl is getting stalked or something. I don't know.
How lovely.
Yeah. Apparently it's really weird. Lan said he felt icky for weeks.
Yeah. But I loved Ex Machina.
Ex Machina was a banger. I thought Annihilation was good too.
Yeah. It was just trippy. The
bear talking and all of it was weird.
It was just, yeah.
This guy makes kind of weird movies. I don't know. I'm conflicted on this film.
Me too. I will say that. Yeah.
What do you? Well, I don't know. I'm not ordered like we normally do.
Yeah.
I have three main thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'll go ahead and say, I'll give it a rating. I'll go ahead and give it a rating.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I think it's one thumb up.
Yeah. So I don't know if I agree.
Really?
I think it's either one thumb up or a hesitant two thumbs up.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
I want to watch it again.
Yeah. It is one of those where it's like you, I don't feel like you get everything the first time around, or you don't experience it the same.
Yeah, I think I went into it with wildly different expectations of what it was.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is my first thought and my shortest one. What I expected was a lot more of a political film.
Oh, yeah.
And instead, neither side was really fleshed out.
Mm-mm.
Like, I don't know anything about the Florida Alliance, or the...
The Western Forces.
Western Forces and the Florida Alliance.
Yeah.
Or, like, the Loyalists.
Yeah, I think what it was supposed to be is that the president took a third term and took away the FBI.
Yeah.
And something else.
But, like, and so one thing that one of the people said was, oh, well, he missile striked American citizens. And it's like, at first glance, I was like, oh, yeah, so he's just bombing innocents. He didn't say innocent civilians.
Yeah.
He said American citizens.
That could have meant a enemy base force with infantrymen.
Yeah, there's really no telling. So, like, I don't know. I don't even know. Like, obviously, it seems like the U.S. president is a bad dude.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you could go as far as say the loyalists are the bad guys.
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, and also, that's kind of the whole point, like, of the film is just indifference.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Kirsten Dunst just was so indifferent to the war, to both sides, to...
Life
in general in this movie.
Yeah.
If you want to see a depressed Kirsten Dunst, watch this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I do think, though, that with there being no good guys and no bad guys, even though they did describe the president as being like Mussolini or... Yeah.
Like, he's obviously not good at his job if there's... that much civil unrest.
Yeah, but they brought up like pretty solid dictators that were like murdering people.
Yeah.
So the U.S., like the loyalist forces might have actually been the bad guys. You just don't really get an answer.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it made everyone scary to me.
Yeah.
Like no matter, like because it's a road trip film. So every time they turn around a corner and somebody is there, it didn't matter what uniform they had on. Or if they were not wearing a uniform, you're like, oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this could just be some dude that's going to shoot him.
Yeah.
Like, you have no idea.
And it gets down to, like, the civilians. Like, there's one scene where they stop and there's some civilians who are armed and have done some unspeakable things to other humans. And... it's not even about what side they're on. It's just about resources and survival.
Well, he where like... they just... Was it that he stole bread?
I think he stole bread for his children or something.
See, I saw that as a... Oh my gosh, I'm losing my mind. The French book, Jean Valjean.
Oh my God. Yes, Les Mis.
Yeah, that was definitely a Les Mis reference.
Yeah, it was. I can see that. Good heavens, honey.
That was all I could think of that entire scene was, oh my gosh, it's Jean Valjean.
Yeah, he stole bread. And
was, like, flayed.
Yeah, not good things.
Yeah.
But that's like, we don't know what side those people were on. We don't know.
It didn't sound like they were on a side.
No, like, I feel like that's also, like, how most of the civilian encounters were.
Yeah.
Were...
they didn't really care. They're just there to grab power wherever they saw it.
Yeah.
I don't know. How many thought points did you write down? 'Cause
I didn't write down anything, dear.
Oh, you're just here for thoughts and vibes?
Yes.
So we'll go into my next point that I wrote down. Mm. See what you got to say about it. I want to talk about the POV of the movie being journalism.
That is, it's a really interesting take.
So I like it and I don't like it. Mm-hmm. It's very, like, parts of me really love what they did with it because it divorces the viewer from the politics.
Yeah.
With the war journalism, all they're doing is focusing on the human suffering that comes out of conflict. So, like, the pictures don't care what side you're on.
Yeah. I did write down one quote that I thought was pretty...
poignant.
Pretty much this, like, a summary of the film. It's really simple, but Kirsten Dunst says... or she's the main character. She says, "We take pictures so others can ask these questions."
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of sums up her character and her mission. And I think the idea behind having journalism in the center of it is just we provide people with the reality.
Mm-hmm.
And they can digest it however they wish.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what the film didn't really make any statements.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't make any, like, statements of this is what's right, this is what's wrong. It was more of this is what happens.
Yeah.
And I really like that part.
Yeah.
Where it's not really making a call one way or the other, what's right or wrong. It's just showing it to you and letting you feel the way you feel about it.
Yeah.
I love that. Thing I didn't like, and I don't know if this is just my personal opinion of journalists, but they might have done this on purpose. I don't know. To me, it felt like they were trying to make journalists and journalism seem really important and cool to, you know, inform modern society of things. To me, it came off of as voyeuristic.
Yeah.
So, like, when someone gets shot and they, like, really need someone to apply direct pressure and begin first aid, instead you have a 14-year-old girl, like, standing over him.
She said she was 23.
Whatever. She looks 14.
She does.
And just like, click. Oh, is that your lifeblood coming out? Click.
Yeah. I did have a problem with that just slightly. Like,
maybe it's just the idea of journalism.
Yeah, I think... Journalism can be icky, you know.
Yeah.
But photojournalism is the focus here. So, like, no words, just reality or, you know. So, I don't know. I love taking pictures, so I get it. Also, it's a job. I get that, too. The idea behind why they made it the whole, like, linchpin of the film. That's interesting to me.
Yeah. I don't know. It made, like, to me, they, like, the whole film was like, look at how, like, cool and important they are. But then they also kind of looked like vultures, like, circling a kill.
Yeah. Which I thought was interesting, just the, like, the main characters just, as I said again, like, indifference to the entire thing. And just, like, but she wanted it. She wanted it so bad. She wanted to go and get this. The whole thing is they're on their way to D.C. from New York City to go get a critical interview or critical photograph of, like, the main fighting zone.
And the president.
And the president. They wanted to see the president. And so, like, it just boggles me that she wanted to do it so bad, but at the same time, like, hated what she was doing.
Yeah. Like, full Minty B.
Yeah, full Minty B this girl was going through.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's the one thing that I can't let go, is why. Like, I guess, like, because the job is more important than her mental health. Getting, you know, or the, not the job, but the outcome. Getting the people to be able to see her work is more important than her mental stability, clearly.
I don't know. I didn't really mesh with that whole idea. But, like, it leads to some really cool stuff, you know. It does. Like, the more objective view of human suffering. I think that's my big takeaway from the film, was it's really trying to, like, hammer home how, like, especially in today's world, how, like, there's a lot of disagreements on politics and all this stuff, and politicians are maneuvering to build conflict among people and all that.
Mm-hmm.
That this film was kind of hammering home, like, the end result of that is horrible suffering.
Yeah.
For everyone involved.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter what side you're on. Like, it's going to be awful.
Yeah.
I think that... And I think the journalism side did aid in that message.
Mm-hmm.
But there was just a lot of aspects of it I didn't like.
Yeah. I actually agree. I agree with
actually
that.
Actually agree?
I actually agree. Makes sense. I mean, it's very... How you say... Like, if you do... It's very clear in the point of the film. Like, as soon as we finish it, it was like, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So, one, I guess, other scene that really, like, got me was the scene where, well, I guess can't spoil it, but with a soldier unalived a couple people in the psychological manipulation.
Oh,
he put the people through before he...
I don't think that's... Well, we don't have to say who he killed.
No. I'm just saying I really, like, really enjoyed that part. Or didn't enjoy it, but I mean, like, that was so well done.
Yeah. See, the part I really, like... It reminded me of Behind Enemy Lines with Owen Wilson. Have you ever seen that?
I don't think I have.
We need to watch that movie.
Oh, boy.
It's kind of cheesy. But it's the whole movie is about him getting evidence of mass graves and basically, like, ethnic cleansing.
Yeah.
And fighting to keep that evidence. It's a really good movie. But I feel like they didn't really care all that much about the mass grave and the ethnic cleansing in this.
Yeah.
Like, they were just kind of like, oh, we need to run. And, like...
It's like, you don't want to take a picture?
Yeah. You know, we're talking about substantial war crimes here. Like, there is a pit filled with people that this guy deemed not American enough.
Yeah.
And you're just like...
Yeah.
Like...
But the situation was dire. They had to get out of there.
But that's, like... On the scale of news stories to shoot with your camera,
yeah.
To me, that's pretty high.
Yeah.
That's like front page. I would put that, like, on par with talking to the president. You know? Like, here's firsthand genocide. Click.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. There's a lot of horrific things in war crimes that occur in this movie.
Yeah.
That is kind of disturbing, so, like, trigger warning, I guess, for that.
Yeah, there is a lot, like, the... I have one more metaphor.
Okay.
For them skipping the mass grave. That's like, you're with the American soldiers in World War II driving to Berlin, and you see Auschwitz on the way, and you're like, don't bother stopping, guys. I want to take a picture of Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
Why not do both?
Uh-huh.
That's...
Yeah. It's fine.
That's on the way.
That is a fair jab at that scene.
So. It was a really good scene, though. Like, the way it was played.
Yeah.
I just was asking questions to myself that decreased my enjoyment of that scene.
Take the picture! Take the picture!
Yeah, pretty much. What were you going into next?
I don't think I had anything.
Oh, well, I have one more thing. And it's my favorite scene.
Mm.
It's a different scene than what you were thinking.
Really?
Mm-hmm. My favorite scene is the sniper ambush. Where they're driving and they get shot at.
Yeah.
So, I really like that scene because when they were talking to the soldiers that were in that little sniper fight, they were like, which side are they on? I said, man, I don't know. They're just guys trying to kill us and we're trying to kill them. And he's like, but like, are you on this side or on this side? And he was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, did you not just listen to me? I like it. Because shows that at a certain point in dealing with humans, all of the politics and motivation just boils away, and all that's left behind is violence and tribalism.
Yeah.
Where it's me and my pal.
Or you and yours.
Yeah. And it's you have a gun, I have a gun, I don't know you. And you don't look like my friend.
Yeah.
So, at that point, they could have been both on the same side.
Oh, yeah.
Very
possible. Especially just in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. Well, like, I mean, they're shooting at each other because the other person shot at them.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of dives back into my main point in the movie is, it really doesn't matter what each side stands for. Like, the characters don't care what each side stands for. It really doesn't matter. It's just about survival and making sure your tribe survives. Whether your tribe is your family or your town or your gas station, whatever, you know. This movie is about you sticking together with the people that you want to stick together with. And you'll do horrible things to make sure that they make it through too.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of how we are as a species.
Species.
Yeah. But I remember what you're going to say. You're talking about trigger warning for the like violence and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Violence inherited in the system!
Yeah.
It's a lot of violence. But, like, it's filmed well. It's... I don't know if it's real. It felt real. You know what I mean? Like, it's not... Or accurate, sorry.
So, to me, as a person who's seen a lot of dark web combat footage, it looked very real.
Really?
Yeah. Well... I think the main thing is the characters, or like the fighters. The journalists act kind of dumb sometimes.
Yeah. We're jumping out in front and trying to get the picture.
Gotta get that shot. But like the fighters themselves, the combatants actually, the combatants act like their life is at stake.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's no... Let me, you know, jump into the spotlight with, like, the gust of wind mm-hmm. and, like, let me mow down people.
Yeah.
Like, it was in cover, coordinating with a small team. One person pops out, lays down covering fire so they can move. Then the team that just moved lays down covering fire so that guy can move. And you kind of leapfrog. Like, that was how most of the fighting took place, leapfrogging.
Yeah.
One person lays down fire, everyone moves. And if you're actually shooting to try and hit somebody, they were taking single shots, like pow pow, back to cover. Someone else would pop out, two shots, back to cover, and then you would do kind of like a rotation. Whereas like in most fighting, like military action movies kind of stuff, like everyone's just holding down on the trigger, blasting away, you know, like doing the cool stuff.
Yeah.
This seemed very real. Also, I liked that the tanks were infantry supported, so they couldn't get they couldn't get flanked and ambushed.
Oh God.
Because you cannot have armored elements without infantry support. It just doesn't work.
Pop off, sis.
The Russians found that out in Chechnya, Georgia, Ukraine.
Yeah. Poor fellas.
But yeah, I don't know. All that felt real. Actually, the only thing that I was not a big fan of on like the realism side was how close that Apache had to get to the building to blow it up. Which, I mean, yeah, an Apache can fly through skyscrapers like that. I get it. But it doesn't have to be 10 feet away from the front of the building to launch its missile tubes or the rocket tubes.
Yeah.
Like, you're within rock throwing distance. Mm-hmm. And you're sitting in a multi-million dollar helicopter. Why not? Let's back it up a little bit and launch those rockets. Mm-hmm. You know?
It's fair.
And they did have some F-22s.
They did.
Yeah. And some Chinooks. I like saying Chinooks.
Chinook.
Yeah, it's the helicopter with the two rotors.
Ah.
The ones that carries all the Jeeps.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So I thought the... Okay, well then good. I thought it was pretty...
Mm-hmm.
Pretty real. So, good to hear from an expert.
The first aid was actually pretty good, too.
First aid?
Mm-hmm. Like, when that one guy gets a, like, a gut shot.
Yeah.
Or something like that. And the first thing they did was just started shoving gauze.
Yeah.
That's not horrible.
They're not, like, covering it with, like, a cloth. Trying to stop it.
Well, now they have like little injectable things.
Yeah. It's like a little tampon for a bullet wound.
Yeah.
Basically.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool. ooh, that was the other thing. The first little fighting scene where they're with that small team in all the Hawaiian shirts.
I don't recall.
And they're going...
Oh, the first, very first.
Yes. Yes. So, I think that is a super funny reference to, like, a very... There's, like, a little fringe group online.
Oh, God.
Where it was... Oh, I forget what it was called. But basically, they were, like, super far right wing, like, gun rights people. And it was... I think it was at some point people were thinking like they're going to take guns away. And so they said like, oh, well, our uniform is going to be like a Hawaiian shirt and like full gear.
Oh God.
Yeah. So I saw that. I was like, oh my gosh, it's the thing.
It's the online thing that I know of.
Yeah.
How cool.
I just thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Cause they're probably making fun of them.
There was one other reference we made.
Boogaloo.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Well, there was one other reference we made to the guy that was the mass murderer and had the grave of people.
Uh-huh.
Who did you say? It was the video game analogy. Fallout.
Huh?
We were like, he would belong to this group in Fallout. It's like the men. The Brotherhood.
Oh, the Brotherhood of Steel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, uber capitalist America.
Yeah.
Like, 1950s McCarthyism.
We just started watching The Fallout on Amazon.
Yeah, that's going to be another episode. We're going to get a book episode in first, though. I swear.
I swear. swear we read.
On my, like, what the thing is, like, the books I've been reading have not been, like, to do the podcast on.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, I'm reading Arcanum Unbounded.
That kind of sounds like a,
spell book?
Yeah. Like some kind of smut book.
Okay. Well.
I'm just going to say it out.
Uh-huh.
How it is.
Well, you know, but also, the like, if we were to do an episode about that, the only people that I could convince to read it are people that have read Mistborn and the Stormlight Archive.
Yeah. There's a lot of pre-reads before.
Yeah, you have that to one. You have to read thousands of pages of book.
Yeah.
To even consider I might pick this up.
Mhm.
I'm loving it.
Yeah. But also if you read Mistborn, you can read like what?
Probably half pages of it.
Yeah.
Probably about half of it.
Yeah. So
and the half that you would read would be really good.
Yeah.
But I would still. I would almost like to do an episode convincing everyone to read Stormlight Archive because it's fantastic and everyone should read it. I'm not even done with it. I'm 2 books in out of 4. 5th one's about to be released.
Heavens.
Yeah.
Brandon Sanderson is just a sweetie.
He's a gem.
He is.
Well, are we done on this movie?
I guess. I mean, we haven't really talked about the character, the young character that comes along, like, in the... Who just, like, tags along, and it ends up being, like, a profound story and journey of realization of what's going on. She's kind of where we are at, you know? She's kind of naive in the beginning, you know, not really sure what's going on or to what extreme measure.
I think she's still naive at the end.
Yeah, to an extent, I'd say.
I think she's just, like, war-torn.
Yeah.
But...
a little bit less...
I don't know. I...
careful.
Yeah. I liked her character, but also I didn't. Like, she annoyed me at certain times.
Yeah.
Huh?
Like when she does the dangerous thing.
Yeah, like that.
That leads to everything.
But that's because, like, it's because she's still thinking like a kid.
Yeah. Which and she is. She's 23. She's our age. She's like, we're babies. I'm a child.
Yeah, but you want your life's mission to be going into war zones?
Yeah, that is a little stupid. Not gonna lie.
Like,
she says, I want to do this. And there's a point where Kristen says, Kristen Dunst.
Yeah, we're Kristen on first name Dunst. Basis now.
Yes. I like calling people because it just makes it real for them. I think they need to be humbled sometime.
We call Brandon Sanderson Brandon.
Brandon. He needs to be humbled.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does. Everybody needs to be humbled. I need to be humbled. Anyways. I forgot what I was saying, honey. You little butt
Kristen.
Cheek. Oh, yes. Okay. So, there's a point where she's talking to one of her fellow photographers and says something to the extent of, I thought taking these pictures would make somebody not want to do our job.
Yeah.
And it makes a whole hell lot of a sense.
See.
Hell of a sense.
I like, there's no way I could do that.
No.
Like, I could not go into a war zone without a weapon and just a camera and be like, yeah, these guys won't shoot me.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah, I have a little,
I'm going to be fine.
A press badge.
Yeah. Absolutely not. I mean, she does say that she's from, like, excuse my French, but fuck nowhere.
Yeah.
On a farm.
I don't know, but, like, who chooses that line of work, and then when you get in said war zone, do dumb kid stuff?
Yeah.
Like, 23 is old enough to realize, like, hey, I need to kind of lock in here.
But I'm a child.
Not really.
Yes, I am.
You could focus up.
Yeah. I will admit she's very naive for that age. But she's just a baby. She's just a little baby.
Yeah. I don't know.
But also, I think that's why I have given it 1 star is because of there's just little things like that. That kind of just, you know, but the main storyline, or the, sorry, the, like, the point of the movie was done phenomenally.
I'm gonna move back down to just 1 thumbs up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
You convinced me.
I did.
You convinced me about certain parts of it that annoyed me.
Yeah, that you, I mean, like, this, like, if it was just, like, if it was executed perfectly and there was none of these little faults, like, well, obviously it would be 2 stars, but I mean, like,
if it was just the perfect movie,
it would be perfect.
You know.
That's stupid. I just don't need to talk anymore. Just shut me up.
I don't know. I, like,
it's just the little things that made it not 2 stars for me.
Yeah, I think.
Or even 1.5.
No, I don't think it's 1.5. Because there is a lot of, like, there were certain parts where I did find myself kind of just like, huh. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it was a lot of the, like, the beginning.
Yeah.
I was not a big fan of the beginning of the movie.
Well, you thought it was going to be, like, a true road trip movie.
Yeah, I was really scared it was going to be a road trip movie. And also, I didn't know it was going to be a journalist movie. I thought the movie, because I didn't watch any trailers or anything, or read anything about it. I just saw A24 and Alex Garland, and I was like, roger that. I thought it was going to be, like, the, you know, like, the last half of the movie? Mm-hmm. I thought that was going to be the whole movie.
Yeah. Sorry, pal.
Yeah. But actually, no, that brings me to my other point that I forgot to write down. When I was talking about how good the combat seems, mm-hmm. This movie has one of the best modern day, like, peer-to-peer combat things, like, scenes. It's a long scene. I don't know if I would call it a scene, like, segments. Because it's like 3 or 4 scenes. It's like the last 20 or 25 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
Where there's a siege of Washington, D.C. And it is, like, start to finish, all small unit combat. Like, street to street. Very well done. I think it's the best modern day combat I've seen in a movie. The only one that really kind of comes close was The Outpost. And even The Outpost was a little bit more, like, exaggerated. Hmm. I'm trying to think of another, like, close one. But this was, it felt, I think a lot of that was, like, the handheld camera work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It seemed almost like actual combat footage at some parts. Mm-hmm. Not,
it felt real to me.
Yeah, it didn't have, like, a this is a movie feel.
Yeah.
And I'd say, like, the last 20 to 25 minutes of this movie, really, really well done. Mm-hmm. Like, chef's kiss. If that was the whole movie, would have been 2 stars. Or 2 thumbs up.
There you go. That was what I was trying to say.
Yeah. I think a lot of the journalism kind of stuff got in the way. Because, like, I don't really care about,
yeah,
a lot of that.
Not your cup of tea.
Yeah.
That's fine. Maybe somebody else's cup of tea. Or something like that.
Or cup of Joe.
Cup of Joe. Cup of hot chocolate. Whatever you prefer.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I think this is a good point to call it.
I think this is a great point to call it as well.
One thumbs up.
One thumbs up.
Okay. Yeah, we'll stick with it. All right. Adios.
Peace.